This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us as we roll through the morning here. Hour three, Dallas Cowboys on our NFL preview clock as we continue NFC East week. We will do a division week all the way through to the start of the NFL season. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that because Labor Day week, we'll have them done, and then we'll get into that week of college football, that weekend of college football, and then leading into the opening game of the NFL season. But at least for the next 7.5 weeks, we'll be doing previews every single week. Fridays, we'll be wrapping up the division, sort of breaking it down. So this week, it's the NFC East. Did Washington on Monday, the Giants on Tuesday, the Cowboys are today. As we've been saying this morning, there is, of course, a lot to like about the Cowboys. They are the defending NFC East champions. They had a home playoff game in which they lost to San Francisco. Yet, they bring back quarterback Dak Prescott, bring back one of the best defenders in the game in Micah Parsons. They also have, loss of Amari Cooper, but CeeDee Lamb is hoping to emerge as a major top target. But they bring back the coaching staff. Not a lot of changes in the coaching staff. Mike McCarthy didn't get let go, but neither did any of his coordinators go on to other things. Kellen Moore is still there. Dan Quinn is still there. So they at least keep continuity within the coaching staff. Nobody was plucked for another job or a promotion within some other organization. But the Dallas Cowboys have a problem in which, as we've said all this time, their goal, of course, is to win the Super Bowl. And when I say that, I don't mean that in the cliched, every team wants to win the Super Bowl. You know there are teams in the NFL that will say that, but in the building, they don't know, they don't believe that. That they look for, they're looking for growth, they're looking for progress, they're looking to take that next step, they're rebuilding. They'll all say the same things, you know, we play to win the game, we play to win a Super Bowl, but you know, in the business side of it, that's not exactly what they're looking at. The Dallas Cowboys are not that. The Dallas Cowboys are like the Rams. They are like the Packers. They are like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are like other teams in this league that are not rebuilding. They are expecting to be good and good enough to play for a championship. But they haven't been close. So we will have the Cowboys in our preview. But coming up next, Tiger Woods said some interesting things about LIV Golf. Some things that have made people go, well, I'm glad somebody said that. We'll talk about that. We'll hear from Tiger next. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We continue. Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Glad you're here.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call. And yesterday, Tiger Woods had a chance to talk about LIV Golf. Now, if you've listened to this show a while, I find LIV Golf to be probably a lot more fascinating than a lot of people because I've said many times, it's kind of been my own personal slogan. I'm a big picture guy. So when I look at sports, I look at it through two lenses. One is the immediate aftermath of what is occurring, right? The Rams win the Super Bowl or somebody retired or the Golden State Warriors win the NBA title or whatever game it is. What does that mean? What's the immediate impact? And then I'm a big picture guy, meaning I pull back and I go, well, what's the larger story here? And I think LIV Golf is an interesting case in a sport. And we heard this from Cam Rogers in the last hour. A sport in which your achievement as an athlete, like getting to that level, doesn't automatically mean financial success. You know, we talk about this with the draft. We watch the NFL draft. We watch the NBA draft. We watch those opening rounds. You know, and we know that those kids that are getting drafted in the round one and round, you know, maybe round two of the NFL, round three in the NBA, round one. These guys are going to be millionaires. They're going to get contracts. They're going to get paid a lot of money. They're now in the system. Yeah, maybe down the road, like a sixth-round pick doesn't make a team or whatever. But the initial draft, the big highlight, the primetime moments of a draft, you're making millionaires. A kid who's coming out of college and he goes to Q school and he gets and earns his PGA Tour card is guaranteed nothing. He might get a nice little endorsement deal from TaylorMade. Callaway may sign him. But he better produce. And that means the pressure is on him to go earn his money. So LIV Golf came in and went, no, 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 you don't have to do that. You do not have to do that. There is no reason. You're one of the top players in the world. There is no reason why you can't go to a place and play in front of a crowd, play 54 holes, and walk away with a check. There is no reason why you have to go to Memphis to play in a golf tournament, miss the cut, and then you still have to come up with your own expenses, pay your caddy, and everything else that you need, swing coach, all of that. Money comes out of your pocket every golf tournament you're at. And if you don't make the cut, you're going to be broke. You're going to be begging family and friends to support your professional athlete dream. And LIV Golf said, that's nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. You earned your right to be a touring professional. What other sport makes you do that? What other NASCAR drivers don't do that? NASCAR drivers get paid no matter how they finish in a race. Every single race, they get a percentage. They get a base salary and then a percentage. Outside of the few sponsors that you can manage as a relatively unknown professional golfer, how would you make any money? That being said, Tiger Woods addressed all this. And I thought he was pretty brilliant in it because we've been kind of waiting for Tiger to do a more deep conversation about LIV Golf. So here's Tiger at the British Open yesterday speaking exactly on this, saying LIV players have turned their back on the PGA Tour.
As far as the second part of your question about the players who have chosen to go to LIV and to play on to play there, I disagree with it. I think that what they've done is they've turned their back on what has allowed them to get to this position.
Now that's interesting because Rory McIlroy said something to the effect of that a while ago and then kind of changed his tune about that about a week before the Open. I think he was making comments like just before the Scottish Open, saying there needs to be a conversation. Like he now can understand why they're doing that. And as many people have pointed out, Tiger immediately had financial success. He was signed to a big contract coming out of Stanford. He was the top golfer, amateur golfer in the world. He had won the junior amateur 3 times. He had won the U.S. amateur 3 times. He was a well-known amateur golfer. He was probably the biggest known amateur. Nobody really knows amateur golfers. And everybody knew this young kid, Tiger Woods. He had all the fame. So everybody wanted to latch onto him financially. And he rewarded them by winning golf tournaments almost immediately, getting on the tour in 1996. He had won a couple of times when he turned pro, and then of course he won the Masters in 1997, and the rest is history. But not everybody gets that chance. Not everybody is out there earning big checks from Nike and, oh, by the way, winning as soon as they get there. But he did address this because, again, if you're talking about guaranteed money, then what the heck is the incentive to go out and work hard?
What these players are doing for, you know, guaranteed money, what is the incentive to practice? What is the incentive to go out there and earn it in the dirt? You're just getting paid a lot of money up front and playing a few events.
Now, here's the thing about Tiger. Before anybody says, yeah, well, it's easy, you know, the game was easy to Tiger, slow down. Yes, Tiger Woods is a naturally gifted golfer. He has been blessed to hit a golf ball the way he hits a golf ball. But nobody worked harder on his game than Tiger. This guy lived on the practice range. This guy really studied his craft. Remember this about Tiger Woods. He won the Masters, I should say, in 1997. Okay, he was 21 years old, and he had a violent golf swing. He used to swing that thing way in excess of 120 miles an hour and could drive the ball back in 97 much further than anybody on tour. And he could hit a 3-wood further than pros were hitting their drivers. And he realized, even at that young age, this golf swing is not going to sustain itself. So now I'm a touring professional. I was playing a lot of amateur events, but now this is my life. I'm a touring professional, and I'm not going to make it swinging this way. So he went to make a swing change, and he studied the way you can make a like swing the golf club to be as effective, but have a lot of less torque and a lot of less issues when it came to the backs. Now, obviously, down the road, he got into weights, and it really affected his game, and he started tearing some things up. But in 1998, he was changing his golf swing so he wasn't going to be as violent and he could have more longevity. That was brilliant for a 21-year-old who had had a lot of success with the old swing and was willing to give up something with a new swing. And anybody who's ever played golf knows when you make a new swing and you're learning muscle memory, you might as well throw away a season. Right. And Tiger Woods did not win any majors in 1998. In fact, would not win another major. He went from the 97 Masters, the first major of the year. He did not win another major until the 99 PGA, the last major of that year. So there was a pretty good gap where Tiger was learning all new muscle memory techniques to better his golf swing. So when he talks about earning it in the dirt, this is a guy that was willing to see what a new golf swing would do. Guaranteed money. He's right. If you're playing on a tour where you get these big checks every time just by showing up, what would make you want to play and practice in a way that would make you a winner? Maybe some people have a desire to win. Others have a desire to make a good living. And if you're making a good living, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to work hard to win some live titles. Now, the majors are a different story. You can still play in the majors when you're on the live tour. So a lot of these guys may be striving for the majors. But again, some of these guys, and we know a lot of them, know who they are and they know where their talent level is, right? I mean, there are some athletes who play in Major League Baseball who know they will never be Mike Trout no matter how much they work at it. But they're happy to make $1 million, $2 million being a really good ball player on the Milwaukee Brewers, but they're not a superstar because it's a better living than anybody they know other than the superstars that, you know, within their own league. There are golfers who are like that as well. And if they get a chance to be invited to live, then they would take it because of the money. Here's Tiger again. Doesn't see any positives at all about the live tour.
I just don't see how that move is positive in the long term. For a lot of these players, especially if the LIV organization doesn't get world ranking points and they don't, and the major championships change their criteria for entering the events. It'd be sad to see some of these young kids never get a chance to experience it and experience what we've got a chance to experience and walk these hollow grounds and play in these championships.
Yeah, and think about that for a second. And we were talking about this with Cam Rogers in the last hour. This morning, and I watched the director of RNA have some harsh words for LIV, but when was asked and pushed if the RNA would ban LIV golfers from future British Open events, he said, "We're not ready to make a comment on that, and open qualifying, if you qualify for the British Open or the Open Championship, you play." Well, then what's the point of the harsh rhetoric, right? Is it just to get your opinion out there? Great, there's your opinion. Now everybody moves on. But until the RNA, until Augusta National, until the PGA of America, until the USGA, the entities that run major championship golf, until they put their money where their mouth is and say, you know what? We don't think this is good for golf. We think it's a travesty of golf. We don't like the sports washing. We don't like the people behind it. And you know what? You're not going to play the Masters if you're part of this tour. You're not going to play the US Open or the British Open if you're part of this tour. Then you've got something. Yeah, you don't like it so much? You don't think it's good for the game? Like I said earlier, get with your attorneys, figure out if you can ban these guys legally and not be held up in court for years and years and years. And if your lawyers come back and say, "Yeah, you have a right to ban them." You don't have to let them in the Open Championship just cuz they qualified for the Open Championship. You don't like them? You can kick them out. Then kick them out. If you really don't like it, kick them out. I bet not one of them will do it. I bet not one of them will do it because I don't think they have a legal leg to stand on. I really don't. The only one I think that could do it and get away with it legally would be Augusta National. They seem to be more of a more private entity, than these other ones that are a little bit more open to amateurs in putting their tentacles in the game in other areas. Augusta National is just Augusta. The only time you hear about them is when the Masters comes around. They don't make rules. They don't get involved in other tournaments outside the Masters. So like the USGA runs a whole bunch of events. The RNA runs a whole bunch of events. They don't get involved in that. They're like, nope, every year, best golfers in the world come to our club, play our course. We give them a green jacket, and then we don't hear about them, and we don't see them again. We don't hear about us for another year. That's not the RNA. That's not the USGA. They may be in more legal tumbleweeds than Augusta National. But until any of them come out and say, that's it, no more, you can't play in this, then it's just all talk. It's all tough talk. It's tough talk to satisfy a certain percentage of the golf population that's like, I hate LIV too, and I'm glad the USGA does as well. But until they ban them, there's no reason not to join LIV. Make a lot of money, play in the majors, sure. I like the way Tiger, though, put all of this on the table, and I like the way Tiger just said, look, PGA Tour has been my life. It's been my goal. I benefited from them, yes, but there are things to like away the way a golfer goes about his life on the PGA Tour, the way he grows his game on the PGA Tour that LIV just can't duplicate. And so I appreciated those comments. I think Tiger finally speaking out on this in a way, in a more press conference-y way, was very refreshing to hear. All right, the Dallas Cowboys, we've got them on the clock. We'll talk about their upcoming season next as Wake Up Call continues.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Dallas Cowboys will be on the clock today as we are doing our NFC East previews. Mike Ducey will join us. KDFW, Fox Channel 4, sports anchor, to help us preview the boys who won the NFC East last year, should probably win the NFC East this year. Like last year, they're going to open up the season against Tampa Bay, but this time they got the game at home. Remember last year how good that game was to open up the season? That was a stellar game.
Yes.
That was a back-and-forth game. Brady and the Buccaneers winning it. I think it was a final drive or whatever. It was one of those games that went down to the wire. It was one of those games where you went, Dallas shouldn't be ashamed of themselves at all. That was a classic going down. You know, Prescott threw for over 400 yards and whatnot. And, you know, and then Dallas went on to win six in a row. And at one point, they were 6-1. They had a 12-5 season over the 17-game schedule. They won five of their last six games. But they had like a 10-point loss to Kansas City. They had an overtime loss on Thanksgiving to the Raiders. But they pretty much took care of who they should have taken care of. I mean, there was a loss to Denver on the card and, you know, whatnot. But overall, very, very good season, and then it resulted in the loss to San Francisco on wild card weekend as they hosted the 49ers, losing 27-17. But again, they bring back, you know, some key players, but they lost some key players too. Amari Cooper is gone. CeeDee Lamb is now the top wide receiver. You've got Lyle Collins is gone. You got Randy Gregory that's gone on the defensive side, but, you know, Micah Parsons emerged as a fantastic defender last year. And we'll see if CeeDee Lamb can be a number one wide receiver and take that next step in terms of the offensive line is still pretty good. They can still got a pretty good defense. So there's a lot to like about the Dallas Cowboys going into this upcoming season. So we will talk about them coming up at 40. When are we going to hear? Do we know when the NFL is going to say, hey, NFL Sunday Ticket is now on Hulu?
I don't know. I'm still seeing ads for DirecTV saying, hey, subscribe with us now. We'll give you NFL Sunday Ticket. They're still pushing it.
Still pushing it?
Even all the rumors out there are, you know, it's like, hey, this is going away.
So this is interesting. There was today at the British Open, and I'm gonna make a connection to the NFL for a second. So the guy that's in charge of the RNA, he was on giving his press conference, and he was asked this question because it was a British guy saying that in Great Britain, you can't watch any of the opening two rounds on over-the-air television. So he was saying, like, do you think that's growing the game? Like, kids can't watch it on free TV? And, you know, he said, look, he goes, 25 years ago, it would have been a big deal if our tournament wasn't on free TV. But today, like, you got kids are streaming. They're not even watching TV. They're streaming. Like, he made a point about how his, like, son has got, like, three devices to watch sports and how, you know, kids just know how to find things that they want to watch. If they want to watch something, they'll find it. And it's that they're not growing the game because kids are, like, stumbling upon it, flipping through free TV. Same thing in the NFL. Like, are we going to lose? Is one day, are we going to lose? Is CBS and NBC and these other networks, are they going to run out of media rights money and a Netflix is going to come along and go, we got all of the money. Amazon's got all of the money. Some of these services, Like, it would be hard to imagine the networks not having enough money for the NFL. But the money Amazon has is no joke. I mean, like, DirecTV, I am sure, I've had DirecTV a number of times, right? And I didn't mind it. But I hate to admit it, the only reason I got DirecTV was because of the Sunday Ticket. I didn't get it because it was satellite TV. I didn't get it because it was good picture quality. Maybe those things are what it has. I got it because it had the Sunday Ticket. And then we lived in another place where the reception wasn't that good, so we couldn't get it again. And, you know, we've had our ups and downs with finding a south-facing or whatever it is. I think it's south-facing ability to put up the satellite. But then we just kind of went, no, that's not what we want to do. It went out during the weather and whatnot. So streaming Sunday Ticket, are we going to see games streaming? Like, I don't know. Like, that's my biggest question. Like, some of these games that are on NFL Network, some of these big games are on the NFL Network. Some cable providers don't get the NFL Network. So is this a good thing for the NFL? I guess if you can make as much money as you possibly can on the streaming rights.
Well, they're kind of sitting back and saying, oh, well, Amazon has Thursday Night Football. Let's see how that goes.
Right, let's see how that goes. Yeah. Because, to be honest with you, I don't like making predictions on this. Like, I don't like to make absolute predictions on this thing because I always think about what did I think of this 5 years ago, 10 years ago? And did I see this 5 or 6, 10, 15 years ago? And the answer is no. Like, when somebody said to me, let's say back in 2005, right? Like 20, maybe nearly 20 years ago. If somebody said, you know, one day, the Super Bowl is going to be online pay-per-view. I would have said never, never. Today, I'm not sure. I don't think it's going to be in the near future, but I'm not 100% sure they won't do that. Right? I mean, when I was a kid, all the boxing events, the major boxing events were on ABC with Howard Cosell.
I mean, smaller example or a similar example. Because we were talking about it during the break. I said, you know, I asked you about the Emmy nominations. I said, Did you see the list? There's not one network TV show.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like one for every category. Everything else is all the streaming services, all the paid services that you got to find. Why can't sports be on that now?
I know Netflix has wanted to get in the live sports game. They made a bid for a Formula One. They didn't get it, but they made a bid for it. Who knows what they want to do?
Amazon has NFL on Thursdays. I think Apple TV, didn't they just, was it them that just paid for the MLS?
Yeah, I think you're right.
And I think so Amazon.
Live sports is a great, because we talk about it a lot, it's basically DVR proof. So live sports is where you can really put your message, whatever it is, whether it's a client's message, commercial message, your own message, whatever it is, to an audience that's captivated. It's already at their seat. They're not going to fast forward through it because live sports and sharing the live moment with people all over the place is what's attractive to sports. I know me personally, I have a hard time DVRing sports, watching it from start to finish.
Yeah.
I just have a hard time doing it. If I tape the Steelers and I settle in, like if I have something to do and they're on at 12 o'clock my time, but I have something place to be and I DVR it, and I go, well, I'm not going to pay attention to my phone, and when I get home, I'm going to start the DVR. Inevitably, I fast forward through a lot of it. I go, all right. Let's see. Oh, they got the ball again. Oh, it looks like they're driving. I can't, because I know there's a result on the other end, and I want to get to that as quickly as possible. So a lot of people watch sports live no matter what. So if you're a streaming service, this is what you want. It's the equivalent of binge-watching shows, but there's real money to be made here. But yeah, when they get the Sunday ticket, whoever gets this Sunday ticket, it's going to be huge. We're going to see a possible future, maybe a sort of slippery slope that occurs.
Yep.
All right, Dallas, again, 12-5 last season, but they didn't really help themselves this offseason. Mike Ducey is going to join us from Fox Channel 4 in Dallas as we preview the Cowboys. It's NFC East Week on Wake Up Call.
Mm-hmm.
to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It's Wake Up Call. Dallas Cowboys are we're previewing today, NFC East Week. Hey, right now, you deserve the network more people rely on, and that's why Verizon is introducing Welcome Unlimited for just $30 a line per month for four lines with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Our best-priced unlimited plan ever. For real, $30 in line for the whole family. The network you want, the price you love. Switch to Verizon today. Paper-free billing required. Unlimited 5G nationwide 4G LTE. In times of congestion, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. All smartphone lines on the account must be on Welcome Unlimited. Are eligible only for select promotions. Includes domestic talk, text, and data usage only. Data roaming at 2G speeds. All right, so again, we're previewing NFC East teams this week. And the Dallas Cowboys, of course, are one of the premier teams because they move a needle, and boy, do they move it big. Mike Ducey joins us from Channel 4 in Dallas to help us preview. Cowboys went 12-5 last season and came up short in their battle with San Francisco in the wild card round. How are you, Mike?
Tony, doing well. Appreciate being with you this morning.
Thank you so much. Let's talk about this team from the sense of what happened against San Francisco. Was there a deficiency problem with this team that reared its head in that game? Or is it like, hey, you know what? You lose in the some teams just lose in the playoffs. That's just the way the NFL is.
Now, I'm about to share an opinion that might be mine alone, because the panic buttons have been pushed all over the place, in Cowboys Nation. I think all that anybody is remembering is the way the season ended last year. And you know, take my word for it. I've covered this team. This will be my 29th year that I've covered the Cowboys. And I'm not afraid to tell you when I think they're going to be bad and when I think that there are big problems with the team. With that as a backdrop, I'm telling you, I think it's sort of unfair the way this team is being judged right now, simply based on the fact that it ended with another disappointing playoff loss. I know what the history is. I know how long it's been since they've gotten to a Super Bowl, or, you know, since they won an NFC Championship game or played in an NFC Championship game. Were there things mismanaged in that San Francisco game? Absolutely. Do they have to figure out a way to better use Tony Pollard and his, I think, unique abilities as a running back? Absolutely. But I think if you look at the entire body of work last year, I mean, there's some reason for optimism for the Cowboys coming into this season. As you said, they did win 12 games. They did discover some things defensively that we haven't seen around here in a long, long time. We'll probably get more into that. But yeah, I think the playoff game is in large part what defines this team in the eyes of so many. I know ultimately that's what it's all about in the NFL. It's winning in the postseason, especially for a franchise like Dallas. But I don't think this is as bad as a lot of people would tell you it is right now.
All right, let's get to this offseason. Some players have left, and that allows players like CeeDee Lamb to emerge as now the primary target. Give us an idea on Lamb's ability and how important it's going to be, and who are going to be the guys behind him on that depth chart.
You know, I think if Lamb, let's put it this way, if Dak Prescott and the Cowboys brain trust, for what that's worth, didn't think that Lamb could step up, Amari Cooper would still be on the team. I think Lamb is a pretty uniquely talented guy. Lamb and a bunch of the other receivers went with Dak Prescott here within the last few weeks to the University of Miami and got some private workouts in. You know, Dak has stepped up his offseason conditioning, routine and just his work with these receivers as well, trying to get some things going there. So I think Lamb, if he stays healthy, is going to be just fine. I think there's much more of an upside with him than there was with Amari Cooper, who's a very good receiver, very disciplined receiver, outstanding route runner. I think Lamb has some more physical gifts probably than Amari Cooper did. And I think Lamb can be really, really good for a long time. But yeah, there are question marks. You know, Michael Gallup would be the presumptive number two guy, and I don't know if coming off of surgery, if he's going to be healthy enough to lace it up when the thing gets started or not. A big question mark has been the contract status of the tight end Dalton Schultz, who was probably, all things considered, the guy that Dak Prescott relied on most last year. I think he was second in receptions, but somebody that Dak feels really comfortable with. Schultz wants a long-term deal, hasn't gotten done yet. They have the franchise tag on him. Schultz sat out one of the non-mandatory mini camps and then was just sort of a bystander during the mandatory mini camp. So we'll see if that gets done. I mean, Schultz is going to be fine either way. So are they thinner in terms of depth in the receiving core? Absolutely. But I think at the top of it with Lamb, they're going to be just fine. And I think no matter who's in that receiving core, it's going to come down to how the quarterback plays. And Dak Prescott comes into this thing a lot healthier this year than he was last year at this time.
How important has it, last year and even going into this year, how important is the running game to this Dallas offense? And Tony Pollard, who you mentioned before, is this 1A, 1B with Elliott, or is this still Elliott and Pollard is the second guy?
I think you hit on a great question there, Tony, because I think there are probably some within that organization who want to make it 1A and 1B, with Pollard having much more of a role in the running game than he's had in the past. But Zeke has the big contract, and I think that still plays into this with Jerry Jones and maybe Stephen Jones as well. I will say this, you know, Zeke Elliott is criticized a lot around here as a guy who, you know, supposedly hasn't played up to his contract, and he's getting to be of an age where running backs slow down. He's taken a lot of hits here through the first half dozen years of his career. But he did play hurt for much of last year with a knee problem. I think, again, coming into the year, he'll be much healthier than he's been in a while. So I think if they handle this thing correctly, it can be a really effective 1-2 punch with a tremendously physical runner like Ezekiel Elliott and then Pollard, who's very elusive. So I think they want the running game to be a big part of this. With Mike McCarthy, you're never sure, because his reputation in Green Bay was always as a guy who was, you know, throw the ball first. And of course, he had somebody who could do that pretty well. So we'll see where McCarthy goes with that, and the Kellen Moore, the play caller, how they divvy it up on offense.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one of my other questions. Was there a lot of teams that have had success, the assistant coaches sort of get plucked away, right? They're either up for jobs or but the Cowboys have some continuity with their major coaching staff. Is that going to be important?
I think it is. You know, with Moore and with Dan Quinn, maybe even more so, the defensive coordinator, you know, who came in here and worked miracles last year. I to be honest, I'm stunned that he's still on that staff. I know he interviewed for other jobs. I really thought he'd be gone. But I think he's waiting for the right one to come along. And, you know, the cynic might say the right one would ultimately be the Dallas job. But I don't know. There's another coach waiting out there in the wings who may be the heir apparent in that regard.
Mike, the offensive line has always been something over the last couple of years that Dallas has prided itself on. They did go offensive line with the first pick in the draft with Tyler Smith. Lyle Collins is gone. How does the offensive line look for 2022?
You know, I think, again, I hate to keep talking about health, but a lot of it comes down to that. And,
sure.
And Tyron Smith, the future Hall of Fame left tackle, is a guy who's had trouble staying on the field in recent years. He's a huge part of this deal. You know, Tyron Smith, and now it's going to get confusing, the rookie Tyler Smith, they're going to try to plug him in at a guard spot, and we'll see what he can do right out of the gate. I mean, Zach Martin's still one of the best ever to play on the offensive line in this league, and I think he's still in the prime of his career. I think they still miss, you know, Travis Frederick after a couple of years, the center who was all pro several times, that definitely had to downgrade at that position. So I think the offensive line, if the health is good, will be fine. Is it as dominant as it has been in times in the past? No, where it's been the trademark of this team, it's not at that level.
They can score a lot of points, but defensively, where were they in 2022? We know how great Micah Parsons was. What were some of the things they needed to work on? Did they fix any of those problems this offseason?
That's a good question. You know, they lost Randy Gregory, the enigmatic pass rusher who could be so good at times and so unreliable at other times. I think a big key defensively is DeMarcus Lawrence, you know, a guy who's been around a while now and is coming off injury as well. But if he can stay on the field and provide some pressure on the quarterback, that's big. But to come into a season with two first-team All-Pros in Micah Parsons as your linebacker and pass rusher at times. And then Diggs, the cornerback as well, who proved to be such a ball hawk last year. He's an interesting player because he gets beat a lot. He gambles a lot. I think, you know, he's a smart kid, and I guarantee you his numbers won't be as good this year, but he may end up being an even better player in terms of consistency and reliability back there. And again, to have Dan Quinn running the show, I think just gives you some credibility and a guy who is going to make sure that this thing never gets too high or too low. Their defense was a pleasant surprise last year, and I have no reason to believe it won't be really pretty solid this year too.
I got a big quick picture question to ask you as we close this out, and that's on Dak Prescott, because as many of us know, there are certain you can play the same position in a sport, but you can have more of an importance in the culture than others. Center fielder for the Yankees, head coach of Notre Dame, Dallas Cowboy quarterback. It's just an important job around the country. Is Dak unfairly criticized? Because I don't think you can get talking head shows to go, is Justin Herbert elite? But you certainly can move the needle talking about Dak Prescott's eliteness. You can get people talking about that.
Yeah, you can. It's done a lot. Maybe he is unfairly judged in some ways, because if you look at his numbers, I mean, they're borderline spectacular. Yeah. But again, the number that matters most is his Super Bowls around here, even after a quarter century without sniffing one for this franchise. That's still what matters here. You know, the Cowboys, for the listeners more my age, will remember a quarterback by the name of Danny White.
Sure.
Who led the Cowboys to three straight NFC championship games.
He was the punter, and too. I always liked that about him. He
and punter.
Punt. Yeah.
But think of that, getting him to three NFC championship games, and that wasn't good enough to get him into the Ring of Honor for this franchise.
Yeah.
So those are the kind of expectations. Frankly, they've changed since that era where the Cowboys just went to the playoffs every year and it was just assumed. I think Dak's really good. I mean, in terms of being a guy and a leader and a representative of this franchise, he checks all the boxes there. I mean, the stage is not too big for him. The pressure is not too much for him. And again, statistically, he's been a really good quarterback. The only question that remains is, can he have some success in the postseason? And I wish I knew the answer to that. I don't.
Mike, great stuff. Really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much for helping us with the preview.
Thanks, Tony. My pleasure.
You got it. Mike Ducey, FW Fox Channel 4 in Dallas on a Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit them online for a quote at progressive.com. Wrap up Cowboy thoughts for Hour 3 as we continue on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks to Mike Ducey, talking Dallas Cowboys. I don't think there is – I don't want to be simplistic with the Cowboys here, okay? We talked about the Giants and Washington earlier this week, right? So we went, oh, the Giants, they got a new coach, and they got to make a decision on Daniel Jones, and they'll probably go under 7.5, and there's some things to like on defense, but they got to get better here, and they got to – do better here. And Washington was kind of the same way. Carson Wentz is the quarterback. Ron Rivera finally gets a QB he might be able to work with after not having that stability at that position, all of that. I don't mean to be simplistic here, but let's be honest about the Cowboys. They're, barring injury, and that's for every team in the league, so that's sort of the caveat for everybody. Barring injury, this team is going to win the division, they're going to make the playoffs, and then the conversation can start about exactly how their season went. Is that too simplistic, or is that right on? Because that's the way this team is. They're good enough to win this division. They should win this division. So a player here, a player there, did they get better here? Is this guy going to play more? Is this guy going to play less? How is Dak? All of those things are good questions, but in the end, the season is going to be defined by, in the end, what they do in the playoffs, because they're going to the playoffs, barring any collapse. Remember, they were on their way to the postseason before Dak Prescott got hurt, and then they didn't make the playoffs. They didn't win the division. But if Prescott's healthy and everything else relatively is healthy, minus a game or two sitting out for some bumps and bruises, the Cowboys should win the division. And then at that point, we can go, all right, game on, Dallas. Now show us what you got. I think Mike was right. I think they had a good season, and sometimes good seasons get often overlooked because you didn't quite get it done when it came to the playoffs. And I think in Dallas's case, that is true. I think that there is a lot of people that look at this team through the sort of the way Jerry Jones looks at this team, right? Jerry Jones is like, Super Bowl or nothing, Super Bowl or nothing. And then when they don't, it's like, well, that must have been a failure because Jerry Jones must think it's a failure because Jerry Jones must get really upset losing playoff games, especially playoff games at home. And there are going to be plenty of teams that are going to be like that when we do previews all the way through the next 7 weeks, right? Tampa Bay is going to be one of them. Yeah, there's going to be some issues. Who's coming? Who's going? Tom Brady and working with Todd Bowles. All of those things are important. But in the end, aren't the Buccaneers going to probably win that division too? And in the same position as Dallas, where do you go from here? Green Bay is likely to win their division. I'm leaning Rams in the West. Other divisions in the AFC, a lot more complicated. Right, we used to just sort of concede the AFC West to Kansas City. We're not doing that now. They might not win that division if the Chargers are good. Who knows what Russell Wilson is going to bring? Who knows what Nathaniel Hackett, as their head coach, is going to make Denver into? We're not sure. But the NFC East, the division that we're doing this week, is pretty much, as far as the number one slot goes, it should be Dallas because they're better than the three other teams. All right, wake up call continues. Tony D, Ron Culver, glad you could be with us on Sports Map Radio.